Way to see God's word this morning. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. You know, it's interesting when we a couple weeks ago, I did a little research, and I've discovered that since the year 2000, we've baptized 782 people since the year 2000. Isn't that amazing how God has worked in our midst? And many of you are sitting here today, and we're just so thankful for allowing God to allow us to be able to invest in your life, and your life, especially that eternal life that you've found in Him. Well, today I want to talk to you about probably the most difficult task we've ever been called to, and that is the rearing of children. That's an old word, rearing. Raising of children has to be the most difficult, yet the most rewarding job a person could ever have. When you think about it, as parents, we are called upon to lead, guide, protect, invest in, disciple, discipline that God has entrusted us with. We are to do this with children who have different types of personalities, who have at times a rebellious spirit. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Who live in a fallen world with all kinds of temptations around them. And we are to do this with the goal of raising them to love God in a world that despises Him. With the goal of raising them to put others first in a world that is very self-centered. With the goal of raising them in such a way that we don't pass our own dysfunction to them. Now, would you agree that's a difficult challenge? Obviously, it is. So look at the introduction this morning. The biggest deterrents to dysfunction in the home are love, honor, and respect. If you were to say, what should the atmosphere or the environment of our homes be? This: love, honor, and respect. The fruits of love, honor, and respect are obedience and discipline. Now, what I would like for you to do, because many of you who are here as parents, okay, I know there's many parents here this morning, if you have a third grader or above, that's what I would recommend, I would invite you, even though they're in children's ministry right now, I would invite you, and I don't think I've ever encouraged people to do this in all the years I've been preaching, I want to encourage you to listen to this sermon with them sometime this week. Because what I'm doing is I'm showing you as parents that your children need to have buy-in when it comes to their own raising. They need to understand that you're not just up here making all this up, trying to do it on your own benefit or whatever. They need to understand that God has an expectation of you as a parent. You to do in their life. And I'm going to do everything in my power this morning to show you from God's word what that looks like. They need to be a part of their own raising. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. So, parenting God's ways. Number one, a respect that is demanding. And the first thing you see there on your outline is by obeying. And that speaks of our actions. In Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Notice this is a command. Everything in God's universe can be boiled down to obedience. Humanity is the only part of God's creation, if you really think about it, that walks in rebellion to the revealed word of God. Obedience in the home lays the foundation for obedience throughout a person's life. Some definitions. Why is obedience so important? Number one, it means to follow. Children must understand from the time that they are young that obedience is not an option, it is an obligation. It is something that they're obliged to do. God commands it. Now, not only that, children are to follow the lead of their parents. So what does that mean? We as parents, we need to lead in such a way that they can follow. But not only that, there's the expectation of God that not only we as parents do that, it is the expectation of children to follow. Next, obedience also means to comply with. Children must learn to comply with what is expected of them. And the expectation is the greatest in their life should be the expectation that God has of them. And most of that can be brought out right this morning. Now, lastly, obedience means to submit to authority. Now, in the home, children learn respect for authority. If you can well establish authority in their life in the home, they won't have any problem following the authority of teachers, government, and even law enforcement. It's important that they understand that authority is there to protect them. It's important for them to understand the authority is also there to provide for them. And so if we can't teach them that in the home, they're not going to learn it anywhere else. It has to begin in the home. Now, in life, here's what you need to understand. Are we as adults, full-grown adults, are we still under the authority of someone else? Absolutely. From the day they take their last breath, they will always be under some sort of authority. And they need to understand that. Ultimately, children are learning to walk in obedience to the Lord when they walk in obedience to their parents. So there needs to be a parallel of those things. As you follow the Lord, they follow you. That is the pattern that we see in Scripture. Now, notice the next part of verse 1. Children, obey your parents, where? In the Lord. Now, this speaks of two responsibilities. Number one, to parents, to raise your children, the Bible says, in the admonition of the Lord. But to children, it also means obey your parents is equated to obeying the Lord. And that's how these come together. So the parent has a role and the child has a role. Now, look at the last part of verse 1. Children, obey. Notice what he says. For this is right. Meaning that there is a difference, or implying that there's a difference between right and wrong. Meaning that if not right, there must be consequences. That's what's implied here. Children must understand and learn what is right. Therefore, they must understand that there is a standard of right and wrong. Now, let me tell you what our culture is trying to do. And it's been going on since the 70s and probably even before that. But what you're finding is everyone's out there trying to create their own truth. How many of you have noticed that out there in the world? But when we as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, when we submit to Him as Lord, who is the bearer of standard of truth for us? The Word of God. He Himself, His words. And so, as a result, we don't have the privilege of Christians to go out here and say truth. No, it's the Lord's truth. And let me help you understand something. I believe when children understand that you as a parent are out for their good, you want the best for them. And as a result of the best for them, you're going to look to God to get that message for them. I believe once they make that connection, they will respect you for that. There's just something that comes with it. Secular truth, as we said, teaches there are no absolutes. People set their own rules. But God's word teaches that God sets the rules. And it's important that our children understand that not only does God set the rules, but secondly, they're going to be judged by those rules. It's important that they understand that. It's important that we as parents understand that going forth and attempting to teach them those things. So, a respect that is by obeying, which is our actions, and by honoring, which is our attitude. Our attitude. So, look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Honor your father and mother. Now, taken from the Ten Commandments, there is a difference between, this is important, obeying your parents and honoring your parents. Now think about it. Obedience is outward. Honoring is inward. Obedience is in an action where honor is an attitude. It is possible to obey your parents without honoring your parents. How many of you know what that looks like? Okay? Here's a story. I'll help you understand it better. There's a story of a young boy who was misbehaving. His mother told him to go sit in the corner. He did what his mother told him to do. The mother later comes back, checks on the boy, and says, "How are you doing?" "Well, I just want you to know I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." That is obedience, but not honoring. And God expects both obedience and honor. So then we see the whole idea, obedience. And here's what we learned. Even as a church, many years ago, we learned this. There was a crusade that came through, and we learned this. Obedience is doing what you're told, when you're told, with a happy heart. If we can teach our children those things, we've accomplished a lot. How many of you agree with that? All right. So God takes the business of honoring parents very seriously. Next, children who honor their parents have little trouble honoring the Lord, other authority figures, and other people in general. Again, it starts in the home. It moves in such a way that others can be honored also as a result. So, look on your outline. What does honoring our parents mean? Number one, to give special consideration. That's really what it means, that parents are given special consideration. Parents are more valuable. What parents say, listen to this, is very important, is more valuable than what their friends say. They need to understand that at a very, very young age, that you realize they have more invested in you than anyone else, that they are working to that end. Secondly, what does honoring our parents mean? To esteem highly, to appreciate your parents for who they are in your life. That means you look to your parents and you esteem them. Part of that is to realize that God gave you those parents with the instructions of training you up. Many of us would say here today that there was a ton of dysfunction in our families when we were growing up. How many of you, well, don't raise your hand. I don't want to imply anything. But listen, we all live in a fallen world. You agree with that, right? We've all been touched by dysfunction. There's not a family that is represented in this room has not been touched by dysfunction. But the thing we need to understand is we are looking to God to be above that dysfunction. To understand that this is not an excuse. This is something that is a barrier, but not an excuse. So basically what we're trying to do is position ourselves above the dysfunction as it relates to how we discipline and work with our children. So we esteem our parents highly. Now, what does honoring our parents mean? Thirdly, to see as valuable. Solomon, supposedly the wisest man who ever lived, according to the Bible, says this: father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. That's a good word. That's something that we all, and here's what's implied there. So many times we look to our children when we may quote that verse. But we as parents need to take that very seriously. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's not just for our children. We need to look at it for ourselves as parents. Next, children, when you obey your parents, look on your outline, a reward that will be delivered. There's a reward that comes with obeying parents. Matter of fact, if you look at the Ten Commandments, and this is one of the Ten Commandments, it's the only commandment with a promise associated with it. Did you know that? Obey your parents is one that has a promise associated with it. Number one, by days that will be lightened. Lightened. Okay? Look what it says in verse 2. Honor your father and mother with promise, that it may be well with you, that things can go well. Now, the implication here is that you are taught in the admonition of the Lord. Now, many have lived a very difficult life by not obeying their parents. I mean, think about it. It's important to obey your parents, especially those that God has given you in your life. Secondly, not only that days may be lightened, but days will be lengthened. Look at what it says in verse 2, the second part, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Proverbs 3 says it this way, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart." Take those commands. When he says to let them be in your heart, let it be a part of who you are. This is the implication of the building of character. Children. So this verse not only means that a person's life can be lengthened, but it also can be shortened. There was a report that came out. The Minnesota Crime Commission issued a report. This was some years ago, but it still fits perfectly. Every baby starts out as a little savage. You know that? We had the privilege to have a family vacation last week. We invited all the kids in, grandkids are in. We spent 4 days with them rascals. All right there together. I came home, I was worn slap out. And I need more time to recover before I preach. We came home yesterday. And I'm telling you, I got pulled on. Throw me, granddaddy. Do this, granddaddy. I had one that I was holding up, spit up on me. I mean, you know how it works, you know? But you know something? That little seven-month-old, just as cute as she can be, she can smile with the best of them. Wrong. She goes from 0 to 10. She is ready. She's going to have to be a singer. She has to be. The girl can, scream. But the point I'm trying to make here is she can become a little savage. She's as cute as they come. Perfect little smile. But that savage is right there, just simmering under there. Think about it. They're completely selfish and self-centered. They want what they want when they want it. Their bottle, their mother's attention, their siblings' toys, whatever. Deny them these things, and they seethe with rage and aggressiveness, which could be murderous if they weren't so helpless. Do you agree with that? Have you seen that? I witnessed it this past week. Now think about it. They have no morals. They have no knowledge of authority, no developed skills of obedience. All children, not just certain children, but all children are born delinquents. We know that, right? They are. If permitted to continue in their self-centered world of infancy, given free rein to their impulsive actions to satisfy each want, every child would grow up to be a criminal. Somewhere along the line, God has called us to shape that child, to mold them in the admonition of the Lord. So, children, you must submit to your parents or those God has placed in your lives as they partner with God to mold you into the person God's called you to be. Parents, it is your responsibility with the Lord's guidance to shape your child's behavior, and this can only be done when you, as a parent, has the respect of your child and the ability to speak into their life. You have to have that. Next, a respect that is deserved. It's easier on our children to respect us if we do certain things. Think about it. Number one, by just investing in your children, the investment. Look at what he says in verse 4. "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." Colossians chapter 3 says it this way. "Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged." There's nothing there. Unless they become discouraged. Now, think about what provoking is. Provoking is the opposite of investing. Provoking is counterproductive and can be very damaging. Provoking can be both intentional and unintentional. Therefore, we must take the time, this is important, to invest in our children to understand them. Every child is different. How many of you found that to be true? Two children, they are as different as night and day. It wasn't because we raised them differently. God made them in their disposition the way they were made. One was very strong-willed. How many of you have dealt with that before? That can be trying. One was as compliant as can be. If we would have had the first one, If the second one would have been the first one, we would have been sadly disappointed when the second one came. But because we dealt with the first one, the second one was a breeze. It was amazing how different this turned out to be. But the fact is, God places those little creatures in your care. And we are called to shape it. And God's word tells us how to do that. Now, think about their interests. Think about these children. All are different. Their likes and dislikes are different. Their personalities are completely different. What motivates them is different. And what their passions are different. Therefore, God, I believe, asked us to build a custom-made plan in raising our children. I could not have raised my son the way I raised my daughter. If I'd have done certain things that I did with him to her, I could have easily crushed her spirit. I had to understand who she was. And to do that, I had to get in their life. I had to understand certain things about them. There's not a parenting class you can take that says one size fits all. If you're ever brought that, run as far as you can. Because that ain't the way parenting works. You got to understand each child individually. Now, next, a respect that is deserved by disciplining our children. Look at what he says in verse 4. Bring them up in the training. Now, training is the idea of discipline. Discipline, according to God's word, is an indicator of love for a child. Now, that's hard to understand, isn't it? Now, we know discipline as doing certain things to get desired outcomes, but sometimes discipline has to have a negative connotation for it to work too, right? There's got to be that. You got to have both in a child's life. So, Proverbs 13 says this, "He who spares the rod hates their child or hates their son." It's basically one of those things, if you're not going to force in some way your child to listen to you, if you never have your child's attention, then basically he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Now, what is the goal of discipline? It's to get your child's focus where you lives. If you never have that, you're not doing what God's called you to do. And basically is saying, and you really don't love your child. Now, does it have to be the rod of correction? Does it have to be this or that? No, again, you got to understand the child. If I would have disciplined my daughter like my son, as I said a while ago, I would have crushed her spirit. For him, I had to get in his face. How many of you have one of those? You got to get in their face. Why? I cared enough to get in their face. Not that I necessarily wanted them to like me at that moment. I knew how important it was to have their attention. I needed to do whatever it took to have their attention to be able to speak into their life the instructions of God. Those things are necessary when it comes to discipline. Someone has rightly said, a little discipline early on can save a lot of heartache later in life. A young mother went to her pastor and said, I'm having trouble with my son. The pastor said, what's wrong? She responded, well, yesterday I warmed his soup and called him for lunch, but he didn't come. The soup got cold, so I warmed it again, called him again, but he still didn't come. Finally, I warmed the soup the 10th time. I lost it, screamed at him, and he came. What do you think my problem is? The pastor rightly said, you're warming up the wrong thing. Some of you find that offensive. Well, I'm sorry. Sometimes you got to get that child's attention. It's necessary. Now, let me give you, this is not on your outline, but let me give you some truths concerning discipline. Children relate discipline to love and security. Did you know that? There's been times where I disciplined my children, and do you know what they did? It happened. I would discipline them, and they would be tore up about it. But you know what they eventually did at times? Came back and wanted me to hold them, to help comfort them. You know why? Because it brings security. It brings safety. I see it time and time again with my son's children. And I watch it play out. And there's discipline that's brought. And there's corrections that need to be made. And there needs to be that time you speak into their life. But it's amazing how a child will respond back to that loving discipline. Next, children lose respect for those not using their appointed authority. They lose respect for their parents because the parents don't do anything. There have to be circumstances. When there are circumstances, there have to be consequences. Children appreciate rules when they understand the reason behind them. Now, I don't know about you. It's tiring to be a parent. And sometimes here's what we do. You'll say something to your children, and they'll say, why? How many of you have ever experienced that? What is your patent answer to that? Because I said so, right? That is what you call a tired parent when we go there. There are times where it's appropriate to say that because you're establishing yourself as some authority in their life. But there's other times where you need to use it as a life lesson. Help them to understand this is important for you to understand. This is part of God's obligation that He has of me as a parent to bring this into your life that you understand. So important. Now, the task of discipline. Number one, establish clear expectations. See, that's the problem, I think, many times with parents. The expectations are not in place. There's got to be force expectations. You got to be the enforcer at times. Embrace tailor-made parenting. That's what I said earlier. You don't want to, listen, if you have a strong-willed child who came first and you got a very compliant child that came second, you better start paying attention between the differences between number one and number two because you could really provoke that child and crush their spirit. You got to be careful. The goal, here's what you need to learn about discipline. The goal in discipline is to get your child's attention, okay? Why do you need their attention? That you can instruct them about life lessons. Discipline, the art of discipline is to get their attention, to get their focus. Now, for some of you, and I'll be honest with you, with our children, number one, the first one, had to really get in their face. We spanked at our house, okay? All right? Okay, all right, didn't know that was coming. Number two, I really didn't have to spank. I think I spanked my daughter twice because her spirit would be crushed just by me demonstrating my disappointment in her. How many of you love those children? Oh man, it's like, come here, hug me. Yeah. But you got to be careful with them too. They can snow you. They can manipulate that too. Be careful, okay? But the thing you got to realize is you got to look at it and you got to work at it. The goal is this. If you can get your attention, listen, if you can get their attention by telling them to go stand in the corner for 20 minutes or whatever, that's discipline. That works. If they go from that corner to come back and they're just as defiant as when they left you and they come back, you're going to have to step it up a little bit. You understand? So for every child, I'm saying, you do whatever it takes, without abuse, to get their attention, that they can hear from your heart to their heart. That is key. That is vital. Next, expect testing. When you discipline, expect testing. We got a 2.5-year-old, spent a little time with her this past week. Bless her little heart. She's the cutest thing you'll ever see. She's got my heart, I'll tell you that. But she can be a little defiant too. And there's a bottle of water. Matter of fact, we were sitting there and she grabbed my bottle of water. She went around. She tried to open it. I've learned to keep it real tight when she's around. She'll pour it all over her or me or whatever. But I said, now, Lydia, you need to put that back on the table. And you know what she does? She does this. Table's here and she does this. I said, put it on the table, okay? I said, expect the testing. They will test you. It's amazing how that's just built in. Isn't that amazing how they do that? It's just built in. And you got to expect that. And you got to respond to that in an appropriate way. Now, I'm the grandparent. I don't discipline them. I let the children. No, I'm kidding. That's a bad word. I know. But anyway, I looked at my daughter. I said, you might want to tell her something. So anyway, but expect the testing. And then most of all, you must execute consequences. You must. It's important to bring the consequences. If you've clearly laid out an expectation, it's important that you bring the consequences. Next, I respect that is deserved by instructing our children. Look at verse 4 again. But bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The word admonition literally means before the mind. You're going to place before their mind, okay, what you're doing is you're getting them to engage in something. So you're going to place before their mind the admonition of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord. Now, let me tell you about the training of the Lord, the admonition of the Lord. I've told you this a million times. It's there to protect you and provide for you. And I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of common sense with God's truth. There's common sense associated with it, too. And the thing that we must call on the Lord to give us is wisdom. Wisdom and discernment on how to parent, especially in this way. Now, many times, listen to this, we place before our kids' minds more things of the world than the admonition of the Lord. We gotta work on that. Listen, there are more challenges. I'm just going to tell you this. More challenges being a parent today than there ever was, I believe. With all the things that can come into your child's life, the outside world has come into our homes, and you can access anything in the world right there in your home. And the thing that we didn't as parents have to deal with that. That was so foreign to where we were. I mean, we were just trying to protect them from little things that might come in. The whole world is coming into our homes now. And the thing that we've got to do is we've got to wake up and not be naive to those things that could be destroying the lives of our children. Because he says this, be careful with what you place in your children's minds, what you put them before, what you're putting them in front of. That's literally what it means. Someone has said, we cannot impart basically what we don't have. You see, if those things that we're trying to keep our children are, you know who they'll also be important to? To children. Now, I'm going to pick on all of us right now. But if we're over there trying to manage screen time for our children, and the only thing they see is us sitting there at a moment of break, flipping that phone, what are they going to do? You've made that even more enticing. You've even made it more intentional for them to want that because it's important to you and they see it. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now, I'm not against all social media. I'm not against that. But moderation, what we do in moderation, our kids stand a chance of doing in excess even. And we really need to pay attention to those things. But we need to instruct them. So parenting in a nutshell, investing, disciplining, instructing, all work in unison in raising children. I must invest in my child to see what properly motivates. Everyone's unique. Then discipline them according to the respect to instruct them in the ways of the Lord. So here's the application. I want to give you some more costly mistakes that parents make. I'm going to go quickly through these. Let me tell you, I do these in great detail in classes that I like to offer at times for parents. And we go in great details of some of these. But here's some things. Number one, not seeing the big picture. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there's no vision, when children, listen, it's not only you need to see the big picture where God's leading you to lead those little ones, they need to have a part in that too. They need to see that you're up to something in their life, that God's up to something in their life, and you're working in partnership with God in a way to help them see the big picture, what's really going on in their life. By the time I think they're capable of thinking abstractly. They need to understand what faith looks like. They need to understand certain things that can come into their life in such a way that they see the big picture, that God is the one calling the shots. You're just carrying out what God desires for them. They need to see you as a conduit of what God desires. That's the big picture. Secondly, not teaching the value of authority. And that's what these verses are all about. Authority provides for children. Authority protects children. And we need to understand, they need to understand, not making their faith relevant. When you don't make your faith relevant, you see, how many of you notice you learn more by looking and seeing than reading or any other way? It's through watching. And they're watching you. And the Bible says, how do we instruct them in the ways of the Lord? You teach them diligently to your children, God's commands. Sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. It's ever before you, and that way it'll be ever before them. Next, not instilling responsibility. And that result is entitlement. And I hate to say it, and most of you see it. The generations that are coming right now, there's a sense of entitlement that many of them have. How many of you notice this? How many of you see that it's so refreshing when you see a young person who doesn't have that sense of entitlement? They understand work. They understand responsibility is important. How refreshing is that to us as we look back on those generations? You look at that. So parents must be strategic in giving children responsibility. We need to raise them. Let me tell you how the Bible says to raise them. Raise them as givers, not takers. Jesus said, give them, receive. What's the instruction there? Teach them to be givers instead of takers. You know what the world's trying to teach them? Get all you can get. Take all you can. When the Bible says something completely different than that. And then next, not truly building self-esteem. Do you know where self-esteem comes from? It comes from God. He created them. He gave them the specifics of their personality. He gave them to you. You have a big part in this whole idea. Now, let me tell you this. The world's definition of self-esteem is not the same thing as God's definition of self-esteem. Did you know that? Only God can truly build a child's self-esteem. How do you know that? He created them. He created them. The world is looking at this self-esteem, and it's basically they need to look highly of themselves. But the Bible warns us up against looking too highly of ourselves, doesn't it? It tells us to come from a position of lowliness, that pride may not be our downfall. So we need to understand what that even looks like. And then with the self-esteem, let me tell you where I see a lot of parents. And please understand, I'm just warning you with this. I see a lot of parents who are trying to build their own self-esteem through their children's lives. That is very dangerous. That is very dangerous. Because we want them to play sports. Nothing wrong with sports. We can't live our lives through our children. That's very detrimental. We can't put them in positions that we would want and expect us a return. We need to seek wisdom and discernment and not try to live our lives through our children. Instructed to the Lord and how He desires them to be. So right now, what I want to do in these closing moments, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want to pray for you as parents. Pray for you as grandparents. We have a role too. Do you know that? In our children's lives. Father, we just come to you now. And Lord, this is one of those sermons that there could be many in this room thinking, well, that one wasn't for me, when it's really for all of us. Father, I just pray for the children that may be in this room or those looking online right now, that you help them to understand that their parent is not up to what they want or whatever, but they're seeking God, they're seeking you for instruction. Father, I pray for those children that may hear this sermon, Lord, that they would realize that their parent is seeking you, but also that the parent is trying to lead them to be. Father, I pray for that child. But Father, I also pray for parents. Give us a desire, Lord, to see our children raised in your admonition, in your instruction. Father, we know that this life is so busy. There's so many things contending with the messages that we're trying to bring to our children. Father, I pray that we as parents will be wise, that we will be discerning as we raise these great gifts you've given us as children. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for being here this morning.